Here's Evelyn Rob to cook you a ballad on the bass. And there's four lines up on the bottom. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishkino Meit, Shomtomi Agave Banav. If someone had taken a mashkin and he had given him back the use of the mashkin during a period in which it was needed, and the man died during the time that it was in his rishus, now his heirs are holding on to the returned mashkin, he can take it off of the back of his children. Because as we saw before, the halacha of restoring is only a din in the person himself and not in the children. The truth is this little piece we've already discussed earlier, that's one of the main purposes of taking the mashkin in the first place, which is you don't have to return it and give it back to the person when he needs it. One advantage to me, because the Shemitah advantage and the court order is an advantage, one advantage to me is that even though it's metalphalin, I'm not limited in taking it from the heirs. Whereas normally I would be limited to only land that they owned, which I had a shibud for a loan. Over here I can take the mashkin itself, because it's determined that I can take payment for it. Mesa. We ask on Rabbi Yochanan and Shibud. Omar Rabbi Meir, the Fimei Akashim of Mashkinin, Lama Maksiri. Rabbi Meir says here in the Brisa, if we are taking mashkins, why should we give them back? What do you mean? Lama Maksiri? What kind of crazy question is that? Rachman Omar Hadda, the Torah said to give it back. What would be the point if I was already in the time in the midst of the Torah to give it back? Why now take it again? That's what it seems to be asking. Is why take it back again? And the answer: Shalotei Shviit Mishamtato Lo Yiasem Metatalin Etzel Banav. Now you'll note that the question over here seems to be not why do I take a mashkin in the first place if I have to return it anyway, but rather, having once taken it and given it back, what would be the point of retaking it now when the man finishes the usage during the night of his pajamas? Why am I taking the pajamas back during the day? What's the point? And Rabbi Meir answers, the point is, in order to see to it that Shviyas is not Mishamit, and that if he dies, it doesn't become a talpalin, which I'm not allowed to collect from his children. But that makes it very clear, Taima, the Hadaram Mashkinet, that the only reason that it won't become a talpal in Etzel Banav is because I took it back. But if I hadn't taken it back and the man died while it was in his rishus, and now the heirs got it, I'd be in big trouble. I wouldn't be able to take it because it would be the talpal in Etzel Banav. Mashma, that halo hadar mashkinelo, had I not taken it back from him, then I would not have had the right to be shom tome agave banav ubnei beto, right? Because it would become now a talpal, and I was unlimited to collecting only from Kaka, which runs directly counter to what Rabbi Yochanan said. Omer Ravada Bar Matna, what's your problem? Anyway, you had to change what the Brisa said, right? I mean, the Brisa as stated made no sense. Because the Akram Hashem HaMashim, Lamam HaZim, that was ridiculous. So it says to be mouth. So we were the ones who needed to change the gears to now to read Lamam HaZim HaMashim. That was the wrong change. So you are the one who explained the correct language, Lishitatka and the Brisa. Tritachi, still there. The Kiniyakish and Magzirin, Lama Mamashkiri Mi'ikara, the question as stated was wrong. The question wasn't, if I've taken a mashkin and returned it, why bother giving it back again? That's not the correct way to ask the question. The correct Girsa was, if anyway I have to give it back, what is the point of taking a mashkin in the first place? Which many people ask. In other words, the naive reader, when he learns in the Torah that I have to give the thing back, he says to himself, well, what is this? And what's the point of taking the mashkin? Comes along, Rabbi Meir explains, very important point. First of all, it means that the debt is ki'ilu, collected, and therefore you will not be over on the lo yigosh, and during Shemitah you'll be able to collect it. Furthermore, it's already considered to be mishubah to him, and therefore it's not going to become metalphalin for his heirs. That's the point. So, me'akash ha'mavzir lamam ha'mashkin mi'ikara, why in the first place take a mashkin? Shalotei shvi'it misham tafo v'lo yeaser metalphalin etzel banav. That's all that it meant. Now, Tosis points out, okay, so then, but now we really can ask the question that we asked before. Lama chozinu ha'mashkinin. If you're telling me that Rabbi Yochanan is right, that means having once taken the mashkin, I'm now established the fact that I have a shibud on it, and that Shvius will not be Meshamet, and then I'll be able to collect it from the heirs even though it's Metalvin, right? Okay, so why do I have to bother taking it back? Don't take it back. I took it once to formalize the fact that it's my Mashkin. The guy needs his pajamas the first night, I give it back to him, and that's it. What, I got to schlep out and take it back from him? I don't accomplish anything more in taking it back from him. No, what's the idea? Take him in the way the mission has it. Go back in the morning, get the pajamas, or bring him the plow, and then go back at night, bring him the pajamas, take back the plow. I mean, what's going on? So Tosis explains that, there are other advantages to having a mashkin, and tremendous advantages, the same advantages in the hotel of all that you have today. The last thing you want is somebody knocking on your door asking for your TV set. Whether you can walk into your house or not is irrelevant. So the very pressure that's put onto the person is enormous. It's an embarrassment. The whole thing is an embarrassment. And that gets things moving. Not to mention the fact that when this is going on continuously, you're not going to have to go back to court. Because there's no way that he's going to be comfortable to force you now to go back to court, to reassert the original court order that allows you to get to the mosque. And again, I have to reiterate, we are not talking about a mosque that's taken at the time of the loan. None of these things apply to the mosque. Taken at the time of the loan, you made them the loan on the mosque, and the mosque remains yours as long as you want. And we're talking about a mosque that was taken in order to assure payment when the man defaults on the loan. This is a different issue. So therefore, after he defaulted, right? And that's the only time you get a court order to take a mashkin. Originally, you lent without a mashkin, is after default. So now, but if that's the case, if we recognize that there are advantages to a mashkin, why don't we just say that up front? I mean, what do we need all this fancy legwork over here about Shrias and about Metazalek Sabana? But obviously, there's the difference between a psychological power of a mashkin and a legal power of a mashkin is enormous. So what we want to talk about, first we want to define, well, what are the legalities here? Having defined the legalities, I now come along past, so having now established formally those legalities that Shvius cannot be Meshameh and so on, what do I need to go back to the Mazda? That part is essentially psychological. The guy won't be able to be kosher, because people will say, what are you talking about? Just yesterday, the guy was here with the Mazda. What are you giving us the story for? And furthermore, he's going to feel a tremendous amount of pressure at the fact the guy's coming back every single day and has to give it back again. All right, so that means that we really have four different elements to consider in the value of taking a mashkan, despite the fact that the Torah is mechayev us to be ma'aser in a mashkan. So it makes a great deal of sense, the whole halacha. Tanu Rabbana, lo kavod beito la'avot avoto. Now this tells me l'beito. Why the stress of l'beito? It was lo kavod el beito. Because as you said, lo kavod el bayit, don't enter into a home. When it's stressing, don't enter his home specifically. It's telling us specifically the relationship that was established in the context of the pasuk, which is the relationship of a loan. Now, there's plenty of other ways to owe money besides loans. You're supposed to somebody owes you money for other purposes. First of all, you're a guarantor. You didn't make the loan. A guarantor is in worse shape than the borrower. Because if you want to make an idiot of yourself and guarantee a loan, so then fine. Then you take on a full guarantee and the guy can come into your house also. This limitation, depending on the machlokas Rav Shmuel, on court orders, on the person himself who's going to collect, is only on the person who actually borrowed the money. The first thing we look at today, so is, if he's an arev, matanich nas, kachin omer. Lekach bigdo, if the arev is asked to take his clothes off his back. The guy's an idiot to go ahead and make a guarantor. Go ahead, get after him. Furthermore, it says, beneath, imarach l'reyecha. You went ahead and you made yourself a guarantor to your friend or your ex-friend. Takata l'zar kaprecha. You notice he first was a reyah, then he becomes a czar. I don't know who this guy is, right? Takata l'zar kaprecha. Anybody who's made the mistake of doing this knows bitterly how this feels. You went ahead and you gave your hand in a handshake to an alien. No, Oh boy, you've really gotten trapped by the words of your mouth. You've wrapped yourselves up now in bounds for this, huh? Okay, I say zote fovin even had said, look, there's only one thing you can do at this point. You went ahead and you put yourself by taking a handshake. You know what you really did? You put your whole body into the guy's hand. He's now got you completely. You're in his hand. Lay mitrapes. Go ahead and be mitrapes. And the partial shot of mitrapes is just fall apart on him. Which means make him boss. We're going to darshan, you know what it means. The Rahav Re'echa. Now Rahav is the Lashon, of course, Rahav is Malchus, Ashivut, the Torah. So Rahav Re'echa, again, the Pashtut would mean, turn him into the boss, make him king. You're the one who made a fool of yourself, now what are you supposed to do? So therefore we're darshaning it like this. It's two different issues. Nokashta be'imrei picha and nilkadata be'imrei picha. And one of them refers to something that you did that you shouldn't have done with your mouth. And that's on Advarim. And if you said something you shouldn't have said, and you put your foot in your mouth, and now you're feeling like an idiot. Everybody's angry at you. Now what are you going to do? The other one is, you stuck yourself into jail. In other words, you put your bank account in this other guy's hands. Now you've got two problems. And I'm telling you what to do in both situations. In Bata the Kapreyaka, that means, Imamon Yeshua Yadecha, Lech Hitrapes. Now you notice the word Lech Hitrapes can be read as Lech Hater Lo Pisat Yad. Open up your palm, take out that wall, and paint through your nose, you jerk. Because this is what you did, so go ahead, learn your lesson, and choke it up to tuition to school you. And now, that money, so that's the mocker now in the Gemara that's saying it. This is what Shlomo HaMelech says. So he's telling you essentially what the pasuk over here is saying. We have protection for borrowers. Borrowers need to borrow money. For guarantors, we don't have any protection. So lay out their pass. Go ahead and open up your wallet. The im law. Now, if not, meaning, now, right, in other words, if we have two different issues over here, that the nokashka be make picha. The nokashka means you said the wrong thing. So that means now you insulted him, because he now is angry at you, and you're mukhif asking mechila. Suppose he doesn't want to be mocking you. So the lashon of Rahav Re'echa, we're darshaning as, which of course fits the pshat as well, make him king, we're darshaning it as parbei. Rahav, the same otiot as Harbot. So here, Ba'alav Re'im, get lots of friends, which is the halacha, as we learned in Ofis Tshuva, have them go to him and have them tell him that you're sorry and so on and so forth. In other words, once you made the move, you can no longer get up there and stand on the moral high ground and say, well, I was the guy who was trying to help out, and you know, or you say, well, people say something, I mean, you don't have to be so haughty about it, and what's this whole hoity-toity, you're not going to be mindful of yourself. You put yourself into this position, turn yourself into a piece of dirt, that's all. You shouldn't have done it, go ahead and make yourself into dirt. Don't stand on ceremony at this point. And the truth is, it's the only way to deal with it. Because having once done such a thing, people have you in a position in which you're vulnerable, they'll take advantage of you to the end. So therefore, here too we darshan lebeito, but to the bite of an arev you can go into. Letzad sheni, now another approach here, it's interesting this lashon of tzad sheni, usually to be dover acher. However, you'll note that this is a mocker for the accepted idea that we see often, but that all the mefarshim of the Gemara take for granted, that the words dover acher are always said when there's a reason not to accept the first pshat. But tzad sheni is an implication that there's another way of looking at it that has absolutely nothing to do with the first one. They're both of equal validity. So the tzad sheni, you can say, another approach here is, l'deito yata nichnas, avlata nichnas. Fine, you may not be able to come into his house, a borrower's house. What about the other ways in which you owe money? Not because you're a guarantor and you're really coming from outside, out of left field, but because you yourself owe money, but for a different reason. So that, you can't go to collect. He's been working for you. You owe him money. And now, he wants his money. He can walk into your house. Again, depending on where, obviously, we're talking about the court order, I'll leave it to Shmuel and so on. So he can go in and go to Lepal, or Leskar Chamar, your taxi driver wasn't paid. Leskar Pundak, your hotel keeper wasn't paid. Leskar Diuknaot, or somebody went ahead and painted murals on your wall and you're not paying him, you can go into the house and get that money, the mural drawer, I mean. And you might think that all of this would be true because of the source of the debt. But that's the issue, not the formal structure of the debt. Meaning, somebody paints a mural on a wall. You owe me $100. Okay, the guy says, I'll pay you tomorrow. That I understand. You have a right to come in now, I'll tell the poll. Suppose the guy says, okay, you know what? I'll owe you the $100. Okay, you'll give me credit. Yeah, no problem. At that point, it becomes a loan. When it becomes a loan, we don't care why the loan became a loan. Once it's a loan, all loans are the same. Whether the loan was initially given because the guy needed money to invest in a business, or because he needed money to buy milk for his kids, or because he needed money to pay you, so to speak, for drawing that mural on his wall, that doesn't matter. Essentially, what you've done is you said, I'll lend you the money to pay me. That's what you said to him. So for all intents and purposes, I accepted the money for my payment, and now you owe me that money that you borrowed for me to pay me. So that's a loan like any other loan. At that point, you're limited to the same way that any other borrower is limited. Which means never be a nice guy and extend credit. Just tell him you're going after him. And that way, you're able to go without having all of these problems of mashkanot. The Torah says, now we said it again that of course this would mean that you're over on Shnei Lavim, because anyway, if you're holding, you're not allowed to go and be Chovel, which means to be Mamashke Mach, even with a Shriach Bezin. You can only grab it off of them, which is not a lesson of Kabbalah. So this would be adding a second Lav. Otherwise, you hold, you know, with the court order you can, then the Yisra over here would be a unique Yisra that for an Almana, there's no way to take a Mashkin. Again, this means only a Mashkin when the person defaults. Obviously, an Almana can lock as a pawn shop like anybody else. So, and here, it's, don't analyze this in terms of the poor Almana Nebuch. It's nothing to do with how poor she is, or nothing to do with how rich she is. The Torah is saying, don't take something from an Almana. Turn around, so our Mishnah represents the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. It doesn't matter if she's poor or rich, but Rabbi Shimon Omer, Ashira Mamashkinota. You could certainly take from an almana if she can afford it, and she doesn't need what you're taking. It's only Aniyai Mamashkinota. A poor almana, you can't take a mashka from. Why? Because, I mean, after all, you'll have to give her back the mashkin anyway if she needs it. So what is really the loss to her? The loss is shatachayav lagvila. Because since you're going to be going back to give her the thing that she needs, and the next day you're taking it back, and the next night you're going back again, it looks a little suspicious. You must admit that every evening so-and-so walks in with a pair of pajamas and lingerie into the someone's house. I mean, yeah, that certainly looks funny. So you certainly get the neighbor's parking. And therefore, the Torah tells me, don't take a ticket from an almana in order to prevent this type of shema. Now that, of course, is in Darish time of the cross. And the Torah doesn't say anything about that. I mean, you know, it's pure conjecture that that's the reason. So apparently, you're telling me, therefore, that this is Rabbi Yehuda, is not Darish time of the cross. And he says, well, the Pasuk says, what's the difference? She's rich, she's poor, what do I know what the reason is? Rabbi Shimon is Darish time in the cross. But don't we have a machlokas that shows just the opposite? We see that they hold exactly opposite, she thought. The Tzan, the lo yarbelo nashim, Rabbi Yehuda omer, marbehu bevach lo yimisirot levavot. Note that when the Torah says that a melech lo yarbeh lo nashim, he should not have a lot of wives, so it says that lo yatsiru et livavo, they shall not turn his heart away from me. So Rabbi Yehuda says, okay, so in other words, if you marry the right kind of women, so take 1,000 wives, as long as they're the right kind of wives and they don't turn your heart away from God. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Rabbi Shimon says, that no. The point over here is afilo achat v'imisirat rivo. You're not the king can't marry even a single unsuitable wife who would be meisir levavo. In kainatam adonu lo yarbel anashim. Why then does the Torah ask her a king from taking many wives? That afilo kavigayel. Even the best wives in the world, you can't take too many of. Now this is the reverse of the shita, correct? Because over here it's Rabbi Shimon who's saying that I don't know what the reason is. The Torah says don't take a wife, even though she may be a wonderful wife. She may be the best. Don't take her. You've already got too many wives. So you hear it means Rabbi Shimon holds we don't darshan time in a car. Rabbi Yehuda says we do darshan time in a car. Rabbi Yehuda says if it's a good wife, take her. So it's like, on the contrary, this is perfectly consistent. Because this is a very strange pasuk. The pasuk gives you a reason for what it is it's telling you not to do. The king should not marry a lot of wives because those wives will be mesirot levavot. What all of a sudden give me reasons? Since when does God give us reasons? I mean, all over in the Torah, give them a mitzvah, and then you can figure out if there's a meaning to it and so on. But what are you telling me? In order that they shall not. So therefore, because of the fact that the Torah here offers us a reason, then the shitot of Rabbi Yonah, Rabbi Shimon, because of that, are inverted. Why? Because I'll say like this. Le'olam Rabbi Yonah lo darsh tamidikra. Normally, Rabbi Yonah would not be darsh tamidikra. And he says, but if the pasuk over here makes the din of not taking wives dependent on loyal sirot levavot, so then Tai over here is different because shiny up in the fire is called loyal brelo nashim loyal sirot levavot, which tells me my time, the Torah is coming to tell me why am I telling you loyal brelo nashim, in order that there should be a nafkamina la'alocha. What's nafkamina la'alocha? You should know which type of women I'm talking about. If it's the right type of woman, then I'm not telling you not to take it. So my time is lawyer on a machine. You should be lawyer too. The latter. The Rabbi Shimon, you think beauty is a problem? I thought beauty is a solution. Beauty takes away from Hashem.
No.
You are a painter. You would have been working in the mission, I assume.
I hope so.
How can you say such horrible things? Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says also the opposite of what he normally says. He says he thinks of me, hey, wait a second, Rabbi Amad Hashim, it's time to cross. Anyway, I know the reason. The pasuk said something, so I take the most intelligible explanation. And therefore, the Torah would have just said, lo yarbel. I'm also smart enough to figure out that women are dangerous, right? So why do you have to say, lo yasur? Ana yadana, my time of lo yarbel, mishum de lo yasur. If so, lo yasur de kata rachmana lo amalei, why bother telling me then, lo yasur here? To tell me, this is a different answer. One answer is lo yarbel lo nashim is an absolute, not because of lo yasur, because otherwise I would have known anyway lo yasur. So clearly that cannot be the reason. The fact that you told me the reason tells me that that is not the reason, you see, and that therefore must be coming to tell me a new answer. That is also an answer for a melech to get involved with a woman who can be made fearly bold. So if anything, this halacha is completely consistent with the shittot, even though it's inverted because of the extra pasuk. Somebody who takes now as a mashkon a grinder, a rechayim, a millstone. Now, of course, the millstone consists of two parts. We're talking over here about obviously a portable millstone, like a coffee grinder. Huh? Now, any grinder consists of two parts, one which holds the thing that you're grinding, and it's stationary, and the other one which revolves. Now, the one that revolves is called the wheel, the rechet. The one that stays in one place is called the rechayim. But together, they can also be called rechayim, if you're talking about technically. For some reason, the Torah goes out of its way to say, lo yarbo rechayim varochet, as if these are two separate things, just because there's two separate parts to it, which is strange. We're going to darshan from that. So, first of all, we know that if somebody takes the master rechayim, you'll be over on a separate lotas. Again, this is either lav or lav b'shnei. Lav, and remember, in terms of the machlokas, rav and shmuel, because we asked before, hey, isn't it mashma from here that anything else that's not rechayim v'rochem, you can be chovel? So how can Shmuel say you're never allowed to be chovel in the court order, and you're only allowed to grab it off the guy's side of the house? So we answered according to him that it's talking about to be over on a separate lav besides the normal din of lo chovel beto. Okay, but if not, so fine. So then this is a unique lav that a shliach beit din cannot be chovel either. Well, chovel, yeah, chovel is a sense of the din mashkin. As a matter of fact, Rashi says that's good for the Chavs, because Rechayim Varaka would normally be found in a house, not something that people walk around with.
It was like walking outside of the Kenwood, you know. I mean, we walk down the street for Kenwood. And what's interesting is that you chayv mishum shnei kelim. There would be an issur because of both pieces of the rechayim. Shinam aloyach bo rechayim bo rachel. And this also serves as a general law to tell me that lo rechayim bo rachel bilvad amru ala kol davar shasim bo rachel nefesh. Now this topic has three separate components. First of all, it's the fact that we're talking about a rechayim. Then it's the separation of the parts of the rechayim. And then it's the generalization of kinefesh u'chovel, which implies that anything which has to do with achilat okal nefesh, so you wouldn't be able to take a guy's stovetop, you wouldn't be able to take a guy's knife that he uses to cut his challah. Anything that is used in preparation of food is nefesh u'chovel. Says the Gemara, Omer Rebuna Chaval Rechaim Lo Keshtayim Mishum Rechaim Mishum Kenefesh Uchovel. If you take just the stationary part, then you would still get Malkus twice, because there's a separate issur over here of Rechaim Verachem, you took Rechaim, and then there's a separate end of the pasuk, a separate issur of Kenefesh Uchovel. You'd be over separately on Kenefesh Uchovel. You'd be chayav twice. No, we're learning over here that the Torah doesn't give explanations. Whenever we have something, it's in order to add or to define. So kinefesh u'chovel would extend the issur of rechayim v'rachel to anything which is nafesh. Since the rechayim is included in nafesh, so you'd be loka separately for the nafesh. Then rechayim v'rachel, if you would take separately both parts of the rechayim, you'd be loka shalosh, because you were over bishum rechayim, you were over bishum rachel, and you were over mishum kinefesh u'chovel. This leads into all kinds of terrible problems, which Tosfos goes into, which, first of all, I mean, right away on the surface, the one thing you want to ask is, what happened to the question of machlok, okay? How do we know that these are separate? Remember, we have our standing machlokas with Yoshe and Yonatan. Do you need an O in order to say things are different? Right? So it's just a rechayim, O rachav, O nefesh u'chovel. That's number one. Number two, even if you have elements in a pasuk referring to a lav, there's only one lo. So how do we get separate lavim out of one word? In what sense would that lav be defined as a separate lav for each one of these things? Usually, and this doesn't bring the example. Okay, so again, this is a really a complex technical issue. We just had one. No, we just had one before. The lawyer sort of comes to tell me now if it's either coming to limit or right and define, or it's coming to add. I feel like depending on your, but there's no, we never say that Zohar simply says fine just to make things nice for you, right? We had one yesterday. V'lachot yetzbaka, right? What do I need to know? What to say? Give me a brocha. Won't give me a brocha. Obviously, it's coming to add. It's going to define something. And it's not just talk. Of course, absolutely. You can't be loka of somebody that isn't included. Rama never includes a law that you will not be loka on unless it's for other reasons. They go, you know, go nice or something like that, or let me to class A. But this is one of the primary definitions. If I'm not going to be able to get a separate asra for it, so then it's not possible to include it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Chaval Rechayim Lokechat, Varachav Lokechat, Rechayim Virachav Lokechayim. Now this Kinefesh U'chovel does not refer back to Rechayim Varachav. Kinefesh U'chovel adds other items. So that's Lashar Devarim. It doesn't come now backwards on Rechayim Varachav that have a separate Isser to say that Kinefesh U'chovel adds a new Isser on Rechayim Varachav. It creates an Isser even on other things of Ochel Nefesh. Now, this looks like a very interesting format. In other words, do we say that when the Torah adds something in a pasuk, it's meant to refer back to what was said, or is it an expression of expansion? Nogei Korban Pesach. In which case, Abai and Rava, we'll see in a moment what they argue about in Pesach, that they apparently would be arguing in the same machlok as the Ravun and Rav Yudik just argued. So Lema Vayava Rava was looked at Ravun and Rav Yudik and they forget what's the machlok referring to Dama Rava. Ochal na lokeshtayim, mishum na, mishum ki in tzvi esh. Now over here we have, by the Korban Pesach, that we have the lotos lenu na ubasher mevushal ki im tri esh. Okay, we have exactly the same situation. Na ubasher mevushal is rechayim barachem. Ki im tri esh is lotos lenu ki im tri esh. That means we have an iser. Lotos lenu na a. Lotos lenu ubasher mevushal b. Lotos lenu ki im tri esh c. General. No, lo tochlenu kim tliyesh. Don't eat it in any other state but tliyesh. It's a lot. No, no, it's one. I turn it into seven. No. It's not a lav abad echala say. It's a lav. Do not eat it in any form but. How does that? That's complete lav. Right? If I say, do not marry any woman but a Jew, is that a law or not say?
You have to marry a Jew.
Yeah, that's the implication of the law. Do not eat chazer means you have to eat something other than chazer. But it's not, I don't have to get married at all. It's certainly not telling me, therefore, marry a Jew. If you're marrying, marry a Jew. It's not an I'll say to get married. Right? Think. Accept. It's terror. Okay? So lo tachlenu ki in is a law as well. So therefore, it seems to follow exactly the same format we have over here. And we have exactly the same focus. Over there, Rava says, if you eat it na, which means partially cooked, so then you would be lo kev because of na. But you would also be lo kev because of the law of al tachlenu ki in tliyesh. This is in tliyesh. If you eat it mevushal, you would also be lokeshtayim. You were over on eating it mevushal, so it was cooked in water, and you'd also be over kim tliyesh. If you ate it partially boiled, then you'd be over both on na and mevushal and on kim tliyesh. So lokeshalosh, mishum na, mishum mevushal, mishum lotoch, and kim tliyesh, which is exactly what we just said over here. Get the krechayim, verochev, and also nefesh ukovel. Whereas Abaya says, nah, in lokan on lavshet echlalot, we don't give you malchus for generalization. Ki im tliyesh is a generalization. Tell me what you want. Other than. Now, the truth is, it tells us 4,000. The moment we see that wording, lavshet echlalot, we know that Abaya is not talking about sending a review, was talking about. He didn't say anything about Lav Shefek Lalut. He says that's Lashar Dvarim Udiyasa, right? He's coming to tell me other things. He didn't say, no, you can't use the Yisr of Kinefesh Uchovel to tell me a new law, because it's obviously coming to be Marva other things. That's not the logic that Lalabai used. So we really would have known, based on the way in which we just said over the Machlokas or Yidur Luna, that the Machlokas of Abaya Barava is not that Machlokas. However, that brings other examples of where a Gemara will start afresh. We've seen as many times, we don't even need dozens to show it. We've seen literally dozens and dozens of times where we complete a Sergia, and then we start from a different point of view, someone who's not familiar with the Sergia that we just completed. And we said, okay, lema this. Now, certainly we could have turned back and said ourselves, wait a second, but that's not what Rabbi Yehuda said. He was thinking about Lashon HaKlolot. Well, that's true. But it's included, in fact, in the analysis that we're going to make. Shall we say that Abaya, therefore, is telling us the same thing that Rabbi Yehuda said, that Kim Tliyesh is not B'chayiv Yon Rechayim V'rochet, and Rava is going like Rabbi Yehuda, who says that the concept of Nefesh Uchovel, which is the Kiim Tliyesh, is also Machayev Yubek on Machayev Baraka. Amalekha Rav, says Rav, no, the things are very different. On the Amri, I feel with Rav Yehuda, I would agree with Rav Yehuda here too, perhaps. Askan lo kam Rav Yehuda, also lo the Kiim Nefesh Uchovel, lo mashma Rechayev Baraka. All he is saying is that Nefesh Uchovel is not reasonable to apply to add additional Isurim on Rechayim Barakav and have already been been stated, and Hilchot Lashar Dvarim Hu Da'asa. And therefore, it's more logical to say that the Ki'im Tzliyesh is coming to expand upon other things which are not Rechayim Baruch. So if I have an option, of course, I will agree that if I have an option, I'll use it to tell me that. I just want to know. Is it skiing? Is it sailing? Sleep without dreams? But to say that logic over here doesn't make any sense, because what would be the meaning of what would it be adding? We've already excluded the other options. So Kiyim Tzliyesh is not coming to tell me anything. Now, this is a little bit difficult, because Kiyim Tzliyesh could tell you not to microwave it. Right? That's how it's assessed. What? Yeah. Mikrogal. Or Actually, it's very interesting, because we have two ways of heating with radiation. That isn't heat. Directly, right? One is sanitary, huh? Where we're using something that was irradiated and it was warmed, actually, ultimately, right? Ultimate. The other is in the sun. Both of those cases are excluded from normal cooking in terms of Shabbat. So, and it does bring over here, what would be the din? Like, the Gemara actually discusses this and stuff. And so, what's the din of microwaving your microwave tablet? You know what I mean? So it says the whole Gemara's Kasha is based on Rabbi's own brush over there. That's not considered to be. You could actually cook on Shabbos that way, other than a gezer, because of Toldos Esha. We're only goes on things that were heated by something other than fire, because you can confuse that which was heated. But direct cooking, we don't even offer. So, yeah, well, direct cooking by other means that isn't cooking something in between, like water, and then the water is being used to cook something else. You can't tell the difference what cooks the water in the first place. But anyway, getting back to here. So there's actually a drasha on Rava that limits the Ki'in Tzli'esh Daka to telling me the Isser of Na'a B'Sheva B'Sheva. Given that that's true, there's nothing else but to be marveled. That's what he's saying. I know it's not being marred by other Yisrael, so what the heck is it for? I think it'd be coming for us to be adding lavin on non-Dashem of Ushal. That's how he dashes the Ki'im. So Mamela, over here, I mean, of course, our Rabbi Yehuda would agree as well. Fishmamin al-Alav. And Abaya would say to you, oh, I mean, I certainly could agree with Ravuna over here. Anad Amrath Yehuda Ravuna. Akan al-Kama Ravuna, Akan al-Bithi Nefeshu Fogel Yitayrahu. He's saying, look, Nefesh HaVovel is coming to tell me anyway that it's extra loving, correct? We're all agreed that it's coming to be marva anything. And the reason, having been written Stam, there's absolutely no reason why Rechayim HaRefet should not be included in Nefesh HaVovel, just because they happen to be the prime example. But over here, Ki'im Tzliyesh is not coming to add any additional lavim at all. So why would it add a lav to this? Right? So if that's the case, I would agree over there with Ravuna. Therefore, the only thing it could be coming to talk about is what is already said. So kiva di yeterahu, shad yarecham rachalo, kiin tzliyesh, lav yeterahu. The whole din of kiin tzliyesh is not yeterah in terms of lavim. It's something else completely. It's because I need it. The Nevoi Lekit Tanya, Bisha'ash, Yeshno Bekum Echot Tzli, Yeshno Bebal Kochal Na, but Bisha'ash, Eino Bekum Echot Tzli, Eino Bebal Kochal Na. The point over here is a completely different limud that we learn from here, and that is that the din of Lo Tochal is a halak and Achilas Korban Pesach specifically, not an Achilas Korban of this particular carbon that was meant for a Korban Pesach. So in other words, if I am going to eat it. Let's say I cook my korban pesach during the day, and I eat it during the day as noah or bashar. I'm not over. Because it's only if I would take it at the time of eating my korban pesach that I would be over. It's a different issue of the clock. In which case, it has nothing to do with adding laving et cetera. That's all. And in terms of looking, that's fine. It has to be fine. It's right to eat the korban pesach. Sorry? More sleep.